This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This episode is brought to you by Aspire Healthy Energy. Find them at AspireDrinks.com. If you're like me, you want energy that actually feels good without the sugar crash or the jittery buzz that comes with most energy drinks. That's why I love Aspire. With 80 milligrams of natural caffeine from green tea and guarana, about half the caffeine of most leading energy drinks, Aspire delivers smooth, steady energy that lasts. No jitters, no crashes. Plus, it's zero sugar and zero calories, and packed with B and C vitamins, biotin, and ginger to support your focus and metabolism. The flavors are seriously good. Mango, lemonade, raspberry, sweet cherry. You'll actually look forward to cracking one open. And here's the best part. I've arranged an exclusive deal for my listeners. You get 20% off your entire order. This is the highest discount out there, and you cannot find it anywhere else. Just go to AspireEnergyDrinks.com and use my promo code ZEROSIGNAL at checkout, or click the link in the show notes where the discount is applied automatically. That's AspireDrinks.com. Promo code ZEROSIGNAL. Fuel your day the healthier way.
You're tuned into Zero Signal, a show about what they won't say and what you're probably already thinking. No fluff, no filters, no bullshit. Let's crack it open.
At this time, I'm going to ask you to fasten your seatbelt.
Most people think of space as empty and predictable. But ever so often, something appears that forces us to look again. Tonight on Zero Signal, we're digging into two names, equal parts science and conspiracy theory, Atlas and Planet X. First, 3I Atlas means it's only the third interstellar object we've ever confirmed after the famous Oumuamua and Borisov. Discovered this summer by a sky survey telescope in Chile, it's racing through our solar system at more than 130 miles per hour. Its orbit is hyperbolic, meaning it isn't bound to our sun at all. It came from the deep galaxy, and in just a few months, it will whip past the sun and head back into our interstellar space forever. Early images suggest it isn't just a rock. It has a faint coma and tail-like comet, but with a chemical profile unlike anything we've seen before. The James Webb telescope shows it's extremely rich in CO2, about 8 times more than water, making it possibly older than our solar system itself. Some scientists see this as a priceless opportunity to study material born around another star. But Harvard astrophysicist Avi Loeb has raised a sharper question. He points out to a near-perfect trajectory, passing close to multiple planets, with odds he calls astronomically slim. He notes its glow seems to appear at the front of the object rather than behind it, like a normal comet's tail. To Loeb, Atlas might not just be a frozen gas. It could be evidence of design. Then there's Planet X. Historically, it began as a 20th century hunt for a missing world beyond Neptune, a search that accidentally led to Pluto. In modern astronomy, the name has been reborn as Planet 9, a possible giant world, 5 to 10 times Earth's mass. That might explain why distant Kuiper Belt objects have strangely clustered orbits. No one's seen it yet, but the debate continues. In a conspiracy culture, Planet X has another identity, the infamous Nibiru, a hidden planet tied to Sumerian myths, end-of-world predictions, and doomsday warnings that go viral every few years. So tonight, we're pulling these threads together, an interstellar visitor we can actually track, and a shadowy world that might or might not, exist on the far edge of our solar system. Jay, when you hear stories like these, one proven by direct observations, but hinting at something stranger, the other lingering on the border between science and myth, what's your first instinct? Are we looking at discoveries waiting to be explained, or stories designed to keep us guessing?
Yeah, brother. That's a good question. The more I look at this, and I look at the players and some of their backgrounds and this whole Atlas comet interstellar object, the more I think it's just a story to distract us. It is fun to kind of look at the fact that this thing is, I think, roughly the size of Manhattan, give or take, and it's traveling at an interstellar velocity. I had to look up what an interstellar velocity is. Essentially, it's a velocity where it can override the escape velocity of the sun. So essentially, it's moving so fast that as it approaches, it can whip on by and shoot right back out of our solar system and go to wherever God intended it to go. I find this character, Avi Loeb, pretty interesting. So he was born in February 26, 1962. Not that's important. He's 63 years old. He's an Israeli-American theoretical physicist who works in astrophysics. So he's a, of all things, a professor of science at Harvard. So this guy has some pretty legit credentials, and he makes some pretty fantastic claims, which is the reason I think this is probably getting a lot more attention than it otherwise would. I know he made some pretty fantastical claims about Oumuamua. He claims that it was powered by a solar sail, which essentially captures light and solar energy from the sun to propel whatever objects it's attached to across the universe. So I just want to get to the premise, the thesis of his argument. He thinks that Oumuamua and that this 3-eye Atlas are interstellar probes, possibly from another alien civilization, maybe transport from an alien civilization. And one of the theories is that they've hollowed out an asteroid to make it blend in. So if an observer from a different planet would see it, they would just chalk it off as some sort of natural phenomenon from rocks just shooting out of other galaxies and solar systems. I think it is interesting that there's lights projecting out of the front of it. But in my mind, the limited understanding I have of comets and asteroids is that once they start getting next to stars, that they start to heat up and gases start to expand and water starts to melt. So that light could be any sort of mineral, any sort of element that's starting to heat up and actually projecting light. So I think he draws some pretty outrageous conclusions to get attention, to sell his books. And later we can get into some of his writings and some of the outrageous claims. And if we kind of want to point some of this back to Bluebeam, I think we can probably draw those conclusions.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I am not an expert in outer space or any of the things that go on in the cosmos. What I am an expert in is people, and people that perhaps may have a reason to persuade you to their opinion. One of the things we know about Avi Loeb is the fact that he's made this claim about Oumuamua in the past. He said it was a solar sail, alien object that was coming towards Earth. During that time when he made those claims, shortly after, he published a book where he said, our first contact with aliens. And he made a whole lot of money off of that book because people were interested in the topic. That kind of gives me some inclination of his motivation for making these claims. Now, we do have this object that's sailing through the metaphorical skies, metaphorical cosmos that's making its way to Earth. We know it's 5 to 7 miles wide. And when you look at some of these photographs, they're pitting off some what I almost looks like Christmas lights photos. Like they're multicolored, they're red, they're green, they're yellow, and they're cascading around. And it looks very exciting as you look at these photographs. Obviously, the remainder of the scientific community is very excited about the opportunity to see an object that they may never see again in their lifetime. What it reminds me of, though, when we talk about CO2 and the concentration of most ice, like off-gassing from this unknown object that's traveling across our universe, as, and again, untrained person, doesn't know anything about the cosmos, but I do know how rainbows work. It's the diffusion of light, meaning that when you look through light, through water, much once you have a rain shower and that rain shower passed, but there's still some water in the air, you see a rainbow effect that occurs. And I wonder if we're seeing, when we see those images, is it starlight? Is it sunlight that's reflecting through this ice that's melting on this object, passing through our cosmos, that are giving it all these fantastical colors that we see, which I think is very possible. Again, I don't know what's going on up there, but I do think it's very possible. possible. But as a person that specializes in reading folks and I've done homicide investigations, we always look at the motivation of why people are making these claims. And to me, it seems like Avi has a whole lot of reasons to make claims that it's going to be first contact with aliens. And I almost wonder, before this thing comes, is he going to come out with another book?
Yeah, the guy has a pretty distinguished career. Some of his accolades is he was the director of the Institute for Theory and Computation at the Center of Astrophysics. That's a hard thing to do. He chaired the Department of Astronomy from 2011 to 2020, and he founded the Black Hole Initiative back in 2016. I can read through all of his accolades and all of his badges, if you would. He also made this claim. So there was a supposed impact by, I think, an asteroid or comet. Now, this name is bizarre. It's mostly just alphanumeric. So it's CNEOS 2000. So this thing apparently crashed into the ocean. And he claimed that he was able to get a team together and retrieve parts of this comet from the seabed. And he found like spheres. And he claims these spheres were part of an alien spacecraft. And how he found it on the ocean floor, I don't know how, unless somebody is visually tracking it and they're able to plot the coordinates. I don't know how you pinpoint something in a vast ocean. Like, ships sink in the ocean, we can't find them. But he claimed to found some spheres and claimed they were part of an alien starship. At this point, I'm thinking of advanced alien technology. So was this like a derelict ship that he claims that just randomly crashed into planet Earth? Were the people on it dead? There's so many different things that make no sense to me. I find it a bizarre story. And I try to look for pictures of these spheres. I'm sure they could be made by natural phenomena. Or he could have just randomly found some junk from ships or containers that when he dredged the ocean floor, this came up. So I found that to be a somewhat interesting fact about him.
Yeah, I think we can make an entire show on all the kooks that are over at Harvard.
Yeah, true.
But it's interesting he comes out with it. And I'm not trying to discredit the man because I'm sure he's very smart and very well regarded in his field. And I'm not trying to disparage him in any way. But the rest of the scientific community does not agree with him or his analysis of this object that's flying through our sky right now. I was digging around on research and trying to find what people think is actually occurring. Because at the end of the day, it's really interesting. This is only the third interstellar object that's transitioned our solar system since recorded time for us, since we've observed. One of the theories that came out of the Christian community that kind of spin into conspiracy circles is they wonder if it's wormwood. Have you heard of wormwood?
Yeah, it's the thing that's supposed to crash into the oceans and make them uninhabitable.
Yeah, so a lot of them think that perhaps this is the object that's going to do it. Like, they theorize that it's going to come out of nowhere. People are not going to understand what's going to happen. It's going to crash into Earth, and it's going to poison our waters and our wells, and it's going to kill off a lot of people. And I don't know if that's reality or not, but I do know our clock is slowly ticking forward to the world. I think that much can be proven. We're walking towards that way. That's potentially one possibility.
Yeah, so the reason I don't believe that is because Jesus says nobody knows the time or date, only the Father does. If you can observe an interstellar object, you can make calculations as to when, like roughly when wormwood or the comet's going to impact the Earth. I honestly think wormwood is going to be something that we don't see. We have no clue it's coming and it's just going to hit us out of the blue. But no, I can understand how people could draw that conclusion and put those threads on the old investigation board. It does make sense, but I toss that out just with my biblical viewpoint.
Sure. Yeah, and I think I do as well. And I heard some rumors that he was part of the first Star Wars initiative. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. So it was a bit eye-opening to see this. So from 1983 to 1988, he led the first international project supported by the U.S. Strategic Defense Initiative. So essentially what that is like the Star Wars program. Back in the early 80s, Reagan commissioned the quote-unquote Star Wars program to help track and defend against ballistic nuclear missiles. So again, we're pointing back to this guy who is obviously on the high end of the IQ spectrum. And he knows what he's talking about in terms of astrophysics, physics in general. He got his PhD in physics in 1986 from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He's not some kook standing on the side of the road yelling the world's going to end tomorrow. But I do question some of his conclusion. And we can talk more about that as we walk through this 3-eye atlas situation. So another interesting thing is that this comet is supposed to be closest to Earth on December 19th, 2025. So it's roughly going to be 165 million miles away from Earth. So essentially what's happening is rocking past the planets, going past Mars. It's going to go past the sun because of the way we orbit. And it's going to slingshot around the sun and then come back toward Earth and project or propel outside the galaxy again. So I think sometime in October, November, it's going to be hidden by the sun. So they're not going to be able to observe it. I did listen to an interesting podcast with Avi talking directly, and he raised the concern that since they can't observe it, because the sun's gravitational pull, and it's factual, can speed this comet up. And light particles, according to him, and I don't know if this is pseudoscience or legit science, but light particles are very tiny, and they can, over time, affect the trajectory of the comet. So he was suggesting that there could be a possibility that, given the current projections of this comet's travel, that right now the calculation is saying it's going to pass 167 million miles away. But he's saying if something happens on the back end, the sun's gravity pulls it a little too far, maybe light particles push it a little too far out. 167 million miles is a joke in terms of space. That's someone swinging a fist at you and they're missing by like a millimeter in terms of perspective. This thing is close in terms of interstellar solar objects. So kind of fanning the flames of fear there, suggesting that we don't
know. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What kind of effect the sun's gravity, these light particles are going to have, and this thing could slingshot around and slam right into Earth. Which sounds scary.
Absolutely. One of the things, I got into an interesting conversation on Reddit the other day in reference to this topic. And some people said, what if Avi actually doesn't believe that this object is an alien spacecraft? What if he's just saying that so he can divert resources, convince people to divert resources to observe it? Because at the end of the day, it's still really interesting. Like, it's something that's coming outside of our galaxy and passing through, and we should take the opportunity to potentially make new discoveries, see what's occurring. I was thinking if I was trying to convince somebody, give them something irrational to focus on the rational. And I wonder if perhaps that's what he's doing, trying to convince the U.S. government, convince NASA, perhaps SpaceX, depending on what assets they have in the area, to focus all their time and attention on this object so that they can photograph it and video it and hopefully just see something really interesting, even if it's not alien in nature passing through.
Yeah. So in this podcast I listened to, he was trying to actually convince someone in Congress to convince the powers that be to divert, guess it's a telescope kind of close to Jupiter. So what he wants to do, assuming he doesn't crash on Earth and kill us all like the dinosaurs, he wants to, when it flies back out of our solar system past Jupiter, he wants to divert one of the telescopes, the satellite telescopes out there, and try to start moving it now so it can get in its path and be within a couple million miles of it by the time it comes back. I guess at that point in time, it'd be sometime in 2026. So he's actually involving congressmen and women and trying to get them to talk to the powers that be to use the equipment to get a better look at it. But I just kind of want to go through a little bit of some of the facts about this 3i Atlas. So it was discovered not too long ago, by July 1st of 25. So we're talking a couple months at this point. Right now, it's traveling at 137 miles per hour, which is fast. Apparently, it's the fastest interstellar object that they have observed that has entered into our solar system. And the crazy thing about it is that as it gets closer to the sun, they project the max velocity is going to be 152,000 miles an hour. So this thing is speeding up at a pretty significant rate. I don't know a ton about astrophysics and the effect that the sun can have on something. It's roughly adding almost 20,000 miles an hour as it approaches the sun. I'd be curious to see how that affects the trajectory when it comes out from the backside of the sun sometime in November.
Yeah, it's hard to say because I'm not an expert in this stuff. I view it from a theoretical perspective. I view it from a Christian lens of how I observe the world. And it always makes me get into a deeper conversation, despite whatever Avi's talking about, what the other scientists are talking about. It's what's actually out there. What did God create beyond like our known systems? Because he talks about creating the stars and the moon and the sun come from somewhere. Like I never really thought about beyond our kind of known creation. Like I always wonder, like, where the heck is this stuff actually coming from? How big is actually space? I don't think anybody actually knows. A lot of people say it's endless. And as our human minds, at least my human mind says, nothing can be endless. At some point it has to end out there somewhere. So I always wonder, do you have any thoughts on that? What's beyond it? What are we looking at? I know scientists say a whole lot of stuff, and most people in human, at least in our human culture, is they can't even come to a conclusion if the earth is round or flat. Like, what's beyond those cosmos? Like, where is this thing actually coming from?
Yeah, so I think those people, the flat earthers, would say space is fake, which I don't believe. It's interesting you said that people say space is endless. So if you look at mainstream science and physicists, the universe is constantly expanding. As time progresses, the theory is this massive whatever exploded and shoots out in all directions. So scientists claim that this velocity is actually gaining speed, so the universe is expanding faster and faster. So that's why they claim space is endless, because eventually the theory is that as it expands, planets will be further and further apart, solar systems will start to rip apart. So eventually everything will die, which I don't believe, but that is the premise of that theory.
To me, it's just God's never done creating. Like, he's still working in our lives, creating things, making things magical that are way beyond our comprehension that we will never know until our final days. But I think there's probably a limit to our human understanding of what's going on. And I wonder what God's plan is when he throws these curiosities into our path that we have to analyze and project and think about. I almost wonder, and this may sound crazy, so bear with me here for a second.
I'm crazy, brother. Let's do it.
I almost wonder, is things like this almost seem demonic to me? Meaning that if we think back to biblical times, we think about the Tower of Babel. The tower grew so tall that God broke it down, and that's where we got our world languages. Like, he separated people so that they could focus their attention back on God. To me, this asteroid feels like a distraction of what we should be thinking about versus what we are thinking about. So it may be an alien spacecraft or it may be a hunk of rock. I feel like it's distracting people during a time in our world that we can't really afford to be distracted at this time.
Yeah, so I think this is a good segue to talk about some of the key conspiracy theories about 3-Eye Atlas. So Loeb, in his paper, he suggested that it's a hostile alien probe or scout ship. So he questions if this is hostile tech in disguise. Its trajectory allows easy access to Earth. Some people speculate that it's waking up as it nears Mars, because I think that's when they started noting the glowing tail as an activation signal. Some tie it to an upcoming U.S. congressional UAP hearing of September 9th, 2025, which at this point that would have already happened. No, that's tomorrow. Claiming it will expose an alien presence. Some of the other variants is that it's going to end up releasing mini probe as it passes 165 million miles from Earth. It's released mini probes to hit the Earth. Or it's going to, so this is a funny one, it's going to release ghostly orbs. What that means, I don't know. Some people claim in these Hubble images that there's alien drones trailing this comet. Experts dismiss it as dust or just fragments of this comet just blowing off, melting off as it travels.
These things are always weird. Do you remember, and I don't have the reference in front of me, so I'm going to talk in generalities here, but way back in the day, there was this group of people that drank the magic juice. They all got together.
Heaven's Gate?
That's right. Heaven's Gate, and I think it was Halley's Comet? The comet was passing through our solar system. And they all drank the secret juice and everybody died except for maybe one person that reported it during that time. It always seems that we have these weird things that occur when things fly through our solar system.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy because they thought Halley's Comet was a spacecraft and they thought that it was, I don't know, I should have done more research on that. I didn't even think about Halley's Comet, the Heaven's Gate people, until you brought it up. But essentially, they thought as Halley's Comet was coming and you could see it in the sky, they had to drink this juice to commit suicide so they could like beam themselves up to this mothership. But ridiculous theories. It's crazy what people can convince themselves of. Kind of want to circle back to your point about, you said you think some of this might be demonic or whatever, but it is interesting. Like the Star of Bethlehem, that announced Jesus' birth. That's how the three wise men found him. And I think God does use he does use like signs in the heavens to set off and announce major events. And just like Wormwood, like we talked about Wormwood a little bit, that's going to be something from the heavens that's going to smash into the planet and cause devastation and revelation. I don't necessarily know if it's demonic per se, but I do think God uses celestial events to announce big things, which is interesting.
When you think about it, it's almost scary. Because we see the way the world is crumbling apart when we talk about AI, when we talk about the wars that are occurring right now, when we talk about all the evil and devastation that's just attacking our beings and attacking our world together. And it doesn't seem like we have a clear upward trajectory as a society of people that's going to go in a good direction. We talk a lot about, I worry about the future that my son's going to grow up in. Little kid now, but I know what the world's going to look like in 20 years. I feel like a lot of people probably said that when World War II was going on. We're just fighting a different type of war now. That's between powers and principalities and guns and knives. But it also makes me think about a topic that we talked about prior, which was Project Bluebeam. And how could this be used against us to exact greater control over society?
You want to get back to Project Bluebeam. He made an interesting comment back in 2024, and he claims, and it was his viewpoint, that the Messiah will be an alien from outer space, which ties directly back to Project Bluebeam.
Yeah, 100%. If something happens, God just created something, he's pushing the meteor through the sky, but what if you have somebody really smart like Elon Musk or some of these techie guys that take advantage of this situation? In October, they're going to be actually taking photographs of this comet. And with all the AI and all of this creation that we're seeing, how could you spin it and make it look like something that is actually not?
Dude, so it's my opinion. If, you know, if this thing was really going to hit Earth and if it really was alien technology, we wouldn't know about it until the last minute. So at this point, we've had plenty of July to now. It's not all that long. But I really think, it's my belief, that the elites and the government knew that this was an alien craft coming or it was going to hit the Earth, they would all be going down to their bunkers right now. And they would tell us 2 days before it happened because they don't need us to panic. They don't need us to raid their bunkers or try to find them or try to go out in the streets looting and rioting. If something like this is going to happen, trust me, you'll get 48 hours notice and they're all going to be tucked away and safe and not worried about what's going to happen to you.
Yeah. So, man, it's crazy stuff. Do you know about any other conspiracy theories connected to this?
Yeah, so I think not too long ago, it's funny how we're on the same wavelength. You mentioned something about distraction. So one of the theories that was presented was that some claim this was an announcement to distract from scandals like the Jeffrey Epstein file release. Others allege NASA observatories are downplaying to avoid panic. Again, point back to your distraction thing. Loeb has faced some anti-Semitic backlash with his theories. And I don't even want to get into that because I don't agree with all that. The main one was that this kind of appeared and was made such a big, it's a mainstream news story. It's not hard to find any information out about it, but it released right around the time that Trump was saying there's no Epstein files. Again, don't look over here, go look over there. This is cool. This could be dangerous, maybe not, but it's still interesting to look at. And forget about this file release.
A distraction, whether it's a large scale or a small scale, it very well could be a distraction. At the end of the day, it works because it is super interesting to figure out what's actually going to happen. My eyes strained on what are these October photographs really going to show us about this object? Because though I am of the personal lens that it's not an alien spacecraft, I still think it's something we've never seen before, at least in that trajectory and in that phase of it. So I don't know. I think it's pretty cool to think about.
Yeah. So another conspiracy theory is that this is a decoy or terraforming tech from advanced aliens. So Loeb and his collaborators suggest aliens might use natural looking comets. We touched on this near the beginning of the episode. They take these comets and they use them as decoy for stealth operations. Like I said before, if you were to observe it, you just see a rock flying through space. You're like, cool, happens all the time. Let's not worry about it. But behind two theories is that crafts are hiding behind the dust trail, or that they terraform these asteroids. So they essentially they gut them out, they create their living spaces, and they add engines and what have you in order to blend in with other space rocks.
I always go back to what he said. He goes, some in the UFO research community speculate that 3i Atlas, it could be a scout probe sent deliberately into our system. And the reasoning here is it's large, highly reflective, and came on a trajectory that looks almost the unusual CO2 composition is also treated by believers as a cloaking device, a disguise that makes it look natural as scientist while being something else entirely, which kind of reminds me of Star Trek or Star Wars, which you're going to see out there. But we know that technology, at least in our universe, doesn't exist. But it, as you usually say, it seems very fantastical that these things would come through and it's cloaked and has the shields up and they're going to shoot probes at. It just doesn't even seem realistic to me, even in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, like the ultimate conspiracy, which is the one I lean toward, is that it's not an alien. It's just a hoax of self-fear. And I think that's what it is. We see like Zachariah Sitchin when we touch on Planet X later today. That man became world famous with his theories about Nibiru, the Anunnaki. You can't watch a show, an alien show, without Zachariah Sitchin being mentioned. Discovery Channel, Ancient Aliens. Every book, just about every podcast you listen to about aliens, that man's name comes up. So I almost think Loeb is trying to tap into that conspiracy, don't trust your government, don't trust what you're being told. And ultimately, it's meant to sell books, man. And it's meant to tap into that kind of alternative news, alternative media, and let's overhype something so I can sell books, scare people, and become world famous. I didn't know a whole lot about this until you brought it up. But when I started researching for this episode, you can't see I Atlas without Avi Loeb.
Oh, he's the first one that said it, right? Like, he's always the first one out of the gate that says it's alien technology that we're going to see. And the last time it turned out not to be true. I think a lot of people look externally when they think, if they think aliens exist, they just assume they're going to be smarter than the human race. But in our known galaxy, at least what we know here on planet Earth and perhaps whatever else exists out there, we do know that humans are actually the smartest beings God ever created. Like, we can rationalize, we can talk, we can create. We're in the image of God. Perhaps if something else exists out there, it's more like monkeys and not these superhuman capable aliens that people want to believe in. And I was reading that the more like fringe claim, or like what's really circulated in the tabloids and the conspiracy blog, really frames 3i Atlas as potentially a hostile craft. Arguments cite its suspicious timing, appearing just as NASA and ESA prepare major planetary defense programs, and its flyby of Mars, a planet with multiple active spaceships, as if surveying human technology. So they're talking about almost aliens coming and be like,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What are you guys up to? We want to go check it out. Tap it into our resources and seeing how they can use it. You can't have both. It's polar opposites. You can't be much more sophisticated than us and also want to learn from us. Somebody's the monkey in that equation. So it seems like it's just wild, man. Everybody just throwing theories at the ball. And you have these super educated people that go to Harvard and graduate from Harvard that teach at Harvard. And we want to believe everything that they have to say. But it kind of gives back to, again, motivation and what's his motivation? And I just wonder. I would love to retire, make millions of dollars, and talk about aliens all day. Unfortunately, I can't because I'm not smart enough. But I wonder where that leaves us.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Didn't Harvard say there's 31 genders and dudes can have babies? And no. I don't know. Like, what happened to these prestigious universities using logic? It seems like that went out the window, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Anything that comes from these universities, I tend to question at this point. Unless it's something to do with math or some sciences. When you're super liberal and you're telling me that I can be a cat man and when I'm really a woman, I, like, what's happened here? Well, this isn't the Harvard I remember growing up thinking it's like the best college in the world. But another thing I wanted to talk about with Abhi is that he had this interesting theory. It's called Noah's Spaceship. So essentially what that is, it's a theory about directed panspermia. So essentially what it means is he thinks life from other planets can spread to other planets throughout the solar system, galaxies, whatever. So essentially what it is that you load up microorganisms upon a rock and you shoot it out into space and wherever it hits. And that is an interesting theory. I think scientifically, if you believe in evolution, it would work. But if you don't believe in the evolution, everything falls apart. But I wanted to circle back to like your biblical viewpoint. So I'm not one to ever limit God. I tend to think that this universe is created around Earth and we're the only thing living here. That's where I lean. I can change my opinion. That has nothing to do with anyone's salvation, if you believe there's aliens or not. But I don't think if, say, the universe is infinitely large and he created tens of thousands of other civilizations. Let's say all those people didn't eat the apple. They didn't sin. Why would they want to come to Earth and possibly be tempted to sin? I think if there are other life forms that are intelligent out there that God created, let's say they're perfect. Let's say they're sinless. Why would they want to come here? I'd be terrified to come here. I don't even think God would let you know we existed. And I think if there are other things out there, they're going to be so far away that we'll never get to that stage of technology we could ever find them or communicate with them. I think the aliens that were quote-unquote extraterrestrials, which I guess technically they do fall underneath that umbrella, are demons and angels.
That's an interesting concept. Other people, societies in the far galaxies that God has created and they've never taken a bite of the apple. Coming to Earth, visiting us is almost like going to hell. Right? Because you're going to start to experience pain and jealousy and hate and violence.
What ghetto is this? I don't know. If maybe like you take a video and look how terrible that place is. Burn that tape.
They do shoot wormwood towards us.
We got to get rid of these people. Jesus loves us too much. He wants us all to find salvation. But
yeah,
I thought that directed panspermia was an interesting theoretical concept. But again, I don't believe in evolution, at least in that sense. I believe in natural selection. I believe if in certain environments, you know, if you don't survive, of course, that human's going to die out. So the person that's better adapted is going. But we're not going from monkeys to humans or fish to monkeys or whatever.
Absolutely not. And I focus on your worldview, meaning that I think God created this earth and he created everything around it to support it. I'm not calling Avi a fraud because I don't know the man, but I don't particularly buy the theory that he's selling. It just doesn't seem rational to me. It doesn't align with my worldview. Now, I think we got a lot of damning things to deal with as a society as we trend closer and closer to revelations, but I don't buy it. And I do think perhaps he has ulterior motives to be talking about that. He's obviously is getting a whole lot of media spotlight. He's bypassing that academic caution. Like his theories aren't being tested. If he goes through the academic progress, he has to submit papers and they get peer reviewed and people put input on his writing. It may take a year before he ever actually got published. But if you skip academia and you go straight to the media and you start talking about aliens, people listen to you immediately, especially with a credential as coming from Harvard. So perhaps that media spotlight is making him redirect his attention.
The dude's obviously smart. And like, you can believe something and not have evidence and really want other people to believe it. I'm not like hating on the guy. I'm sure he believes what he's saying. Sure, a nice byproduct of that is making a lot of money by selling books and doing these media circuits and podcast circuits. Do I think he believes it? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think sometimes people, when you call someone a fraud, I think the definition of that is they know it's a lie and they're purposely doing it to be a huckster. I don't believe this guy is doing that for that reason. I think the fame and the money is a nice byproduct. I do think he believes it. And he's a very smart guy. And I could see why someone maybe not rooted in faith, not in the word of God, could come to that conclusion. Sometimes you just want something to be true because if you don't have faith and you don't have belief, sometimes this world can be really crappy and really boring at the same time. It would be cool. Dude, I love Star Wars and Star Trek when I was growing up. Think about it. You can just fly out in outer space, find advanced alien civilization. It's a fantastic fantasy to have. And at one point I wanted to believe, but I don't. Everything we deal with around here is spirit and flesh. We battle against the powers and principalities. And I think a lot of the stuff in the sky and a lot of the weird crap that happens in this world is spiritual warfare going on.
Yeah, I always think about it. You see the very popular photograph of this comet online. I'm looking at a picture right now from people.com, and it looks like Christmas lights. Like, it's blue, green, red, yellow. It's all these perfect little orbs strung together, much like you would string your Christmas tree. And it reminds me of one of the stories that you told me, is where the astronomers took a picture of pepperoni and said it was like this foreign galaxy. And I was almost wondering, it's like, can we believe what we're actually seeing right now?
Dude, that's the craziest thing about this world. I don't, like, 30, 40 years ago, you could believe what you saw. Now today, I don't know if you can believe anything. Before, it was essentially like, is this person lying to me because they're presenting a paper or they're talking in my ear? But if they came with some sort of physical evidence that I could actually visibly confirm, I believe you. Now today, like, sometimes you can't believe anything on the internet. I'm not this handsome by mistake. Like, it's a projection. I don't look anything like this. No, I'm joking. If people would actually see me, they'd be like, that guy's ugly.
I almost caution people, you should lean towards not believing what you see online today because of all the artificial intelligence. You can create videos, you can mask your identity, you can do all kinds of crazy things to manipulate the situation, and you're most better off not believing. Conversely, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that was the only way you could prove something. And I feel like we're walking towards that Project Bluebeam. And once again, where we're talking about it, where it could be a real life scenario, is that you actually can't. And you have to drive discernment into what you're looking at. And yeah, amazing things happen. And I imagine even though we've only seen 3 interstellar objects that's passed by our globe in a relative sense, I'm sure there's been hundreds, if not thousands of more since the creation of time before we could actually observe it. It's probably actually more common than we realize. It just so happens to be that we're looking that way and we see it. Perhaps we're looking at Mars and that's the way it's going and passing. But what is the end game here? Is why are they bringing it up? Like, why are they hyping it up? And I distrust it more because they say, oh, it's an alien spacecraft. Oh, it's hostile. Be scared. Live in this state of fear in reference to this object versus saying, really cool asteroids coming across. Check it out. See it. See what we saw. It's not like this general, I'm sitting at your house and we see a comet fly across the sky and we're both like, that's really cool. Check it out.
Yeah.
No, that it's going to all kill us.
Dude, I think it's a big nothing burger. And that's what I chalk it up to. Good for him for finding it. Good for him for putting it out there. Good for him with his theories. I think what's going to happen is going to slingshot around the sun, fly right by us. Nobody will see it because I don't know about you, but where I live in Pennsylvania, half the time my wife and I look up at the sky to try to see stars and we're like, oh, we see 2. Everything's so blotted out anymore. You can't even see the stars if you wanted to.
They even say the light that you see is actually from dead planets and dead stars. They actually don't exist anymore. It's just some light in the sky that's reminiscent of it from 100,000 years ago. They almost make space unbelievable. And we see a lot of things, and we haven't really got that far out in space either. I question if we've landed on the moon or spacecraft that lives up where the NASA astronauts go. It's not in like deep space or anything. They're just right up there. So ultimately, there's a lot we don't know, a lot we don't understand that's out there. And I think that's for a purpose, meaning God doesn't really want us to. I don't know if he ever came out and directly said it in the Bible, but does life exist beyond Earth? Don't worry about it. That's not what you're supposed to be worried about now, because it's ultimately not going to impact you. We live here on this Earth. We should be focused our eyes towards God and trying to solve real world problems. And that's why when people invest all this millions of dollars, I remember this asteroid many years ago that was flying across the sky and they said it contained all this natural resource. And if they could only capture this asteroid, everybody in the world would have $1 billion because it was this famous mineral. And we're never going to catch it.
I mean, I can't buy a washing machine that lasts more than 2 years. We're going to catch an asteroid and mine it? Come on, man. Like my car. Like I bought a new car. The engine blew up after a year. Like what? I mean, you might shoot a rocket up there and it blows up when it's 3,000 feet in the air. Like, you're going to capture an asteroid. Get out of here.
It's like the movie Armageddon. Like, you're going to go up there and block it. What are they doing? They're like, they're having mining equipment on there to save the world or something, pitting nukes in holes.
Yeah, to alter the path.
Yeah.
Apparently, we've lost the technology that got us to the moon, even though it was this iPhone has like a million times more technology than the moon's spacecraft. You lost it? You probably lost it because it was like simple mathematics. Like it's not that hard to recreate.
A lot of it comes down probably to funding. The more fantastical I can tell you it is, the more, you know, crazy it is. You're going to give me a whole lot more money to research it, to pay my bills, to do my thing, to make it work.
Dude, I just think at the end of the day, all the money's going toward the global control grid. They don't care what's in space. Listen, it would be amazing to go out and colonize Mars and the moon and live this fantastic sci-fi type existence where you're a great explorers. Man is supposed to be explorers. That's in our heart. That's what we are. We like to explore. Like, I go on vacation. My wife likes to lay on the beach. I like to go explore the area. But dude, all the money's going toward weapons in the control grid, like this 5G, the 6G smart cities. They don't care what's out there. They throw $100 million at NASA to see it and tell them you're doing something. Go take some pictures of pepperoni or something. I don't care what you do with it. Yeah, I don't know. 31 Atlas, interesting concept. I think the front man for it is smart fella. I think he believes it. I think he's going to fly past us on December 19th. They'll take a picture and be like, oh, it's a rock. Cool.
Yeah, we'll probably not even get a picture. I'll just get like the tail end of it as it goes.
Yeah, it's
by.
Like, yeah. We took a picture of the wrong rock. Dang it.
It's an interesting theory, though, because you bring up Mars. Obviously, Elon wants to colonize Mars, and Jeff Bezos wants to put people on the moon and manufacture. From my Christian worldview, it's always an interesting concept. Is, do you think we're actually going to do that? Because Revelations comes really more complicated if we have societies living on these different worlds during that time.
Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't. I really don't. I think best case scenario, you get someone to the moon and you drill. If Revelation happens on Earth, like, great, I'm going to die on the moon. like that sucks. And get back home. We're going down rabbit holes. So there's a couple of interesting theories. I don't believe any of them. But one theory is that, okay, so we were talking about Project Bluebeam. So there's one theory that, like, Jesus is coming back to Earth in a spaceship with, like, his angels to come and destroy all the bad people. And one of the theories is that the government's going to try to freak everybody out about this alien invasion, try to fight off Jesus. And they don't want you, like, when he comes in his alien spaceship, that they want you to be afraid of him. They don't want you to think he's the Messiah. And we're going to band together as like a one world order to fight Jesus and his angels. Ridiculous theory, in my opinion. And the other one, which I don't know, it's one of those theories, again, salvation doesn't really depend on it, is that there were other civilizations pre-Earth that were on Mars. I think there's another one called Rahab. There's like an asteroid belt somewhere between us and Mars. And they said that used to be a planet that was inhabited, that was destroyed in some sort of angelic war. Again, it doesn't really, I have to do a much deeper dive to suss all that out. Again, it doesn't, your salvation is not, if you believe it or don't believe it, it's not going to go heaven or hell because of that belief. Those are interesting theories. That the first one that I mentioned, Jesus coming back with an army of spaceships, I think is complete BS. But the other one, I don't know. I like to pretend like in my sci-fi brain, okay, I can make that make sense. Avi loves making this. 31 Atlas makes sense for him.
We hear all these crazy things, and that the Jesus in his spaceships might be the craziest one I ever heard. I haven't heard that one before, but I don't think Jesus needs spaceships.
I don't think he does either.
It brings up a lot of these crazy theories. We saw in the earliest 20th century, astronomer Purcell Lowell speculated about Planet X to explain the orbital irregularities of Uranus and Neptune, really the subsequent discovery of Pluto. And it didn't really resolve those issues, but they were looking for this Planet X, and then they said they discovered Neptune, and they theorized that there's this planet in our solar system that we just can't see, but it exists there, and it's several times the size of Earth's mass, and it's there, and it's inhabited. I find it really unlikely that this Planet X exists, or I think later was called Planet 9, because we've been out that far with different probes and stuff. It reminds me of all these crazy things folks are talking about.
Yeah, it's called the ninth planet. I think what astronomers realized, or what they observed, was that there had to be like a ninth planet on the edge of our solar system. I think Percival, or I can't remember his name, found Pluto. Pluto was so small, I think it's 20% of the mass of the moon. And they eventually said, this gravitational force is so weak that I wouldn't explain some of these trans-Newtonian objects. So they speculate that there's something out there beyond Neptune that is clustering a bunch of rocks together, and it has to be like something like five times the mass of the Earth in order to keep all these asteroids, moons, whatever you would call them, from shooting off into either in the solar system or out of the solar system. But they haven't been able to see it. And like you said, they think that whatever the planet's made out of, it's not really reflecting light, or it's only observable in infrared. So it doesn't really have some sort of visible light signature that we as humans can see, but you have to observe it through infrared. And they still can't find it, But I think through astrophysics calculations, that's something that has to be out there that they haven't discovered yet.
Yeah, a lot of people connect it. So a guy by the name of Zachariah Sitchin's book, he calls it the 12th planet. Many people call it the 9th planet. He introduced the ideal of the Nibiru. I think I'm saying that name correctly, which is the home of the Anunnaki, which is, he quotes, an advanced alien race who visited Earth in antiquity and genetically modified humans and established these early civilizations here on planet Earth. According to his theory, the Nibiru returns every 3,600 years on a long elliptical orbit. Do you know about these guys?
Yeah, Zachariah Sitchin, he surmised the existence of Nibiru. And like you said, it floats around every 3,600 years. And so essentially, it's inhabited by a race called the Anunnaki. So what happens is every 3,600 years, as it gets close, the Anunnaki hop on their spaceships, go to Earth, take what they need, mainly golden women, go back to their planet, and then say, see ya for another 3,600 years. So he uses the Sumerian text to deduce this race and this orbit. But essentially, his theory, his premise is that these Anunnaki genetically engineered monkeys to help us evolve into humans. So essentially what they wanted to do was use as a slave labor to mine the gold because they need the gold to repair their atmosphere. Ridiculous theory. I think he takes a lot of liberty with his translations. A lot of scholars are saying a lot of the conclusions he makes are some BS, and lots of his conclusions are all over the place. And if you really understood Sumerian, which I don't think a lot of people do, it's a dead language. So I don't even know how you can have a dead language without any sort of root language to even reference, to even validly translate some of these scrolls. But basically, he claims that the Anunnaki genetically engineered as slave labor, and they're coming back in 3,600 years to do the same thing. And so this whole Planet X thing is an episode by itself. I just think we're just touching on it and talking about it. I always find it funny that the Sumerian texts claim, according to Sitchin, that these aliens, I think the fallen angels fell to Earth. They made it with women. They created giants. And again, it's taking something that is spiritual and pointing it to, let's look outside of God. Let's call it aliens. Let's take the focus off God, and our creators are really something out there in the universe that we really don't understand.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the Anunnaki characters when we were talking about Antarctica and some of the theories that are floating down there where, you know, the people that may live there, the Anunnaki, who are hiding out. What I found interesting is some theorists suggest that Planet X is not actually a natural planet at all, but really this kind of artificial megastructure, and they call it a Dyson spear-like craft. Now, here's the word I'm keying in on, right? Cloaked alien world. They argue that this explains why it has evaded telescopes despite gravitational hints. And why I'm keying in on cloaked is because here we go. We hear this name cloaked again. It goes back to 3i Atlas, where they think it's a cloaked alien craft. And now we're talking about Planet X, where they think we can't just see it because it's cloaked. Not that we can actually cloak anything here. We never figure out how to cloak anything. I mean, we could hide it from radar, but that's about as best as we can make something invisible. But all of a sudden, and all these things, if theoretically everything out there in the vector is cloaked, hidden, and from us, from some type of special alien technology, I just find that.
I guess we'll have to dive into the Philadelphia experiment, because they claim to have cloaked a ship that fused people onto the boat. Maybe we have cloaked something. I don't know. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about. I think they're called Dyson spheres. It's megastructures that go around the planet. They can do all kinds of wild stuff.
They always go down these. So you have the levels where it just exists and you can't see it. It's blocked by Mars or whatever. It's cloaked, so it's invisible. Even though it exists, you can't see it. And then in the new age or the apocalyptic belief system, Planet X is framed not as a physical world, but as a spiritual entity or dimensional body. And these stories, its appearance coincides with a shift in human consciousness consciousness or a global cleansing that occurs, which is interesting as well.
Dude, like the whole 2012 Mayan apocalypse, like was tied back to at least loosely to Zacharias Sitchin's theory of Nibiru. These people come up with these wild theories and then they set dates for these cataclysmic events that happen and they never happen. And I, even now today, I was listening to a podcast about Planet X. And this guy is, yeah. So there's something called Nemesis, which is, so he claims that our solar system is a binary star. So essentially what that means is like a lot of, I think something like 80 or 90% of solar systems out there have two stars, so two suns. So he was saying we're not the exception to the rule, but this sun is like a black hole sun. So it doesn't really project light, just black, but it's technically another sun. I don't know how you can have a sun that doesn't project light. I guess we can get into this in a different episode, but there's three, I think this fella, I can't remember his name, said that there were like three planets circling the second quote-unquote black sun around us, and one of those planets is Nibiru, and I think he called the sun Nemesis. So essentially what he's saying is he claims that you can look at the sun at certain times of the year and see this black sun behind our sun. I think it's lens flare. That's just me. I don't know. Last time you try to stare at the sun, if you stare at it for more than half a second, you're going to have a black spot in your vision. And I'm assuming a lot of our optical instruments probably have the same issue with intense direct light from the sun, or it's just lens flare from your lens.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to over a century, astronomers really have whispered about the missing planet. First, it was Lowell's Planet X. Later, it was Caltech's model of the giant Planet 9. That was 5 to 10 times the size of Earth's mass, lurking on the edges of the solar system. Some say Shepard's distant Kuiper belt objects into the odd orbits. Others dismiss it as a bias in the data. But I think here's the pattern. Every time our instruments improve, we get new hints that something big is out there. Now, in conspiracy circles, Planet X is far from hypothetical. It's the hidden world of the Anunnaki, ancient gods or alien engineers who created humanity, waiting to return on their long orbit. The name shifts, the predictions fail. The story never dies. Why? Because deep down, we know we don't have the full map. The government says, don't worry about it. But at the same time, the Rubin Observatory is preparing to scan the skies with the power to finally prove it. If Urban finds something, will they even tell us? Or will Planet 9 or the Nibiru just become another classified event? I think what it points to is we don't know what we don't know, and we're afraid somebody's not going to tell us if they find something. And it's always just going to be this giant conspiracy theory out there that will never die. And I think it's human nature to say, I think the president knows something that I don't know, and I really want to know it. And I feel like it's going to impact me. But at the end of the day, I don't think it will.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think Planet X is, again, another cool sci-fi story. There's another interesting character named Nancy Leiter. Back in 95, she claimed to be a contactee. There we go, red flag. Saying that she received messages from extraterrestrials. And she linked her story with Zacharias Sitchin's work. And she essentially says that every 3,600 years, when this planet passes by, it's like a catastrophic doomsday scenario, like complete and total annihilation of Earth, where only a handful of people survive. A lot of people also tie in Noah's flood to the passing of Nibiru. So they're saying every 600 years, this planet comes by, it destroys the Earth, only a handful of people live. Again, taking everything out of God's judgment. I'm not saying that God can't use whatever he wants to use to judge the Earth, but I don't think he needs a rock or a hidden planet to cause the flood. I think you need to speak and it happens. Yeah, man. I think Planet X is going to have to be its own episode because that's going to be a long one and that's a deep dive. And yeah, I think we did a good job touching on some of the main characters. But yeah, notice in my cam, what are you sipping on?
Yeah, so have you seen these Aspire energy drinks yet? I usually drink these because we podcast late at night, at least late for this old guy who has two little kids and works a full-time job. But they keep me awake and it's not overwhelming like energy content. It's only like 80 milligrams of caffeine and it really comes from natural sources. So if I drink a lot of coffee in the morning, I might feel a little bit jittery. But when I drink these, it just keeps me awake long enough to talk about these really cool conspiracy theories. I don't know if you've tried them, man, but you should check them out. They help out to get through these long conversations.
You can't survive all 2 hours of sleep with two little kids? Come on, man.
I probably had one or more of these Aspire energy drinks to keep me awake as we go
through. You probably
like
1 hour, bro. Oh, man, that's awesome. But you have any closing thoughts, my man?
I think about it from a human perspective. If you're a person that believes in these space phenomenons as much as I believe in God, you're probably going to come up with a million excuses why you should continue to explore it, whether it's pointing satellites or building starships or shooting things into outer space. You're going to try to convince people to pour money to planetary defense and to observe in our galaxy to continue on. What we do know is that things fly through our galaxy all the time, whether it's hunks of rock or CO2 or water or whatever the case may be, whatever God created up there. But if you're of that belief that something exists out there, you're going to do the best you can to convince somebody to continue to pour money into it. And I think that's what we see with Planet X or Planet 9 or whatever version they're calling it today, is that people truly believe it. Whether they have a whole lot of credentials or no credentials at all, they believe something exists out there and they want us to use our resources to find it. And when I look at it from my Christian lens, if they believe as hardly as I do about how much I believe in God, I understand it. Not that I believe in it, but I understand the motivation behind trying to convince everybody else to look that way, to give their paycheck over, fund these fantastical things that are potentially out there. But I go back to my Christian worldview that I think all that matters here is what God created in our own world. It's your brothers, it's your sisters, it's your mom, it's your dad, it's your friends, it's whoever, it's your society of the people. And what I think we should be doing is investing in our people, not investing in shooting rockets out of space. There's so much yet to be uncovered here on planet Earth. We have hardly explored much of Antarctica. We haven't gone to the deepest depths of the ocean. There's so much good that got right here that we should be investing in, that we should be improving our societies with, that we should be helping folks. So does it exist or does it not exist? I'm not the man to say. I'm not an expert in that field. But what I can tell you is it probably doesn't matter. I think what matters is here.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah, man, I think space is memorizing. I used to be so infatuated with it when I was a kid. And it's a place of like endless imagination and just fun thinking what's out there. But at the end of the day, I do see the need, possibly in the future, if Christ doesn't come back soonish, that this planet just keeps, the population is growing. And yeah, I guess you could make the argument that there might be stuff we need on the moon in terms of resources. There might be stuff we need on Mars in terms of resources. But, you know, what those resources are, they're dead planets. There's not food. There's not water, at least water that is not frozen. I don't know why we're doing it. Like you said, man, we got homeless vets, we got mental health crises, we got people in Africa that don't have clothes. Let's try to reprioritize and let's do what God told us to do. Let's take care of the poor. Let's make sure people have at least food and water and shelter. How about we take care of that? Like, why are we spending billions in space when whatever's up there is not really going to help those people that are in need?
Everything else is a distraction. But we appreciate you tuning in tonight. Remember to like, subscribe, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Reddit. We're on all the social media platforms. Come out, talk to us, tell us why we're wrong. Perhaps tell us why we're right. That might be cool. But you can tell us why we're wrong as well. Always just focused on good conversation. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Heck, we'd love to pitch you on this show if you have a different viewpoint than us and we can discuss it. But as always, thanks for tuning in.
Man, we need guests. I'm tired of carrying
this show.
I'm joking, man. Nah, man. But you know what? Jesus loves you. We love you. Use your discernment. Forget about 3-Eye Atlas. It's going to pass by us and we're going to be like, oh, I didn't even see it in the sky because it's so cloudy and so foggy. So yeah, forget about it. All right. I'll talk to y'all later.
Yep. See ya.
We've hit the 0 hour. That's a wrap on this week's transmission. New episodes drop weekly, so stay tuned and don't miss the next signal. Follow, subscribe, and spread the word. You've been listening to Zero Signal. We're out.